ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I am your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue, Food Truck, and Catering in Sullivan. And as usual, in the studio is my co-host and producer. How do you like that? I combined both words.
Kind of sounds like a Dr. Sue type of thing.
It does, doesn't it?
The co-host for Whoville's ESPN co-host with Radio.
Colin Fisher's with me. And you can join me every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Mid-Mo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. You can also find the podcast on Blog Talk, TuneIn, iTunes, and more. So if you got something you'd like to add in the show, hey, just give us a call at 573-364-1045 or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. And you can also connect with us on Twitter at Mid-Mo Smoke Show. This first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by the Peterson Oil and Asphalt. It's a family-owned business and filling propane in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. Working with Peterson Oil is a blast.
And I'll bet it's warm.
Yes. And I went by there the other day and talked to them down there. They're thrilled to death, you know, the way we're helping promote them, and they are really excited about staying with us. And I got talking to the one guy, Shane, down there. And I guess down the line, we are going to have Olivia Peterson come in, and she's going to do the show with us and give us her knowledge on barbecue and what she's got going on and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting. And today's going to be interesting. Who do we got? We got the Royal Connection. And
yeah, we've got a gentleman from Red Oaks Barbecue who was so gracious as to help us out, and he actually provided a table for us.
Is he also the one that brought us those wings?
Yeah, he's the one who made the
wings. Oh, my gosh, those wings were just... And the amazing part was there was no sauce and no seasoning.
Yeah, it was just a brine.
Yes.
No rub, no sauce.
Excellent flavor.
Well, and as soon as you picked them up, you were like, oh, that's... my immediate thought was, wow, that's a really clear sauce.
Yes.
Like, it must be just straight vinegar, practically.
Well, that's what my thought was, too. And I also thought... Well, maybe it's kind of like a sweet and sour sauce, you know, clear one. But, oh, the flavor was just right there. So,
and what I loved about it was the brine didn't really alter the flavor. It just made it the best chicken I've ever had.
And juicy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I like, too? The chicken was really tender, but it was firm at the same time where you actually could tell you were biting into something.
Right.
And so...
And some of the easiest wings to eat ever.
Oh, yeah. But now, you know, and there's another thing. We didn't know this guy from, you know, Adam, as the saying would go. But we needed help, and the barbecue family was there to help us out, you know. And so it's a real interesting segment, so you need to stay tuned. And we got our recipe of the day coming up, which Colin's got something for these cold winter nights.
Yeah, you know, as it started snowing a little early this year, the first big snow where we got several inches, I walked out the door, saw my smoker covered in snow, and that moment went on Amazon and bought a cover.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, it's that, like you said, it's that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You learned how to adjust. You learn what you need to do. Like my big wood-burning smoker, I went and bought a special sleeping bag. Because when I need to warm up my internal temperature, being all steel, that heat goes away fast.
Sure.
I'll throw that sleeping bag over top. It looks funny, but I don't care. I'm out there cooking, and that's the thing that I care about.
Certainly.
So we're going to have, I guess, one of Sarah's new recipes today, too, on here.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Anybody who listened in last week knows that Sarah and... Is that her, just a friend? Or?
Friend.
Okay.
Jesse.
Yep. So, one of the members of the illustrious Mid-Mo Smoke Show listening parties.
And we are getting many of them.
Mm-hmm.
We have the family of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show.
Yep.
And she loves doing it. And so she came up with a new recipe this week. She called me, sent me a picture of it. I didn't get the picture for some reason. She said she sent it, but she so. But it sounded good what she made.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And speaking of sending pictures, like we mentioned, you can text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ9. We always want to see pictures of your barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
We'll post them on the website. If you go to ESPN1073.com/MidMoSmokeShow, we've got a gallery rotating through. It's got, I'd say, about four, maybe five guys worth of barbecue, but they send in fairly regularly. And, man, it'll get your mouth watering because some of these pictures are just...
And we got the contest going on right now.
Yeah,
too.
So for another couple of weeks, if you tweet us at MidMoSmokeShow, use the hashtag MidMoSmokeShow, a picture of your smoker, your favorite smoker, either one that you use or one that you've seen. You can also text that in. Once again, the number is 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. That's 573-227-2279. If you text us, just somehow get us that picture. You can also head to the ESPN 1073 Facebook page. If you somehow get us that picture, we will select the best looking one, and we've got some sweet yummy tummy swag. We've got got some smoke show shirts to give away. We've got some stuff, and I tell you what, we look pretty sharp in these. We've got some smoke show shirts. Josh hooked us up with the yummy tummy shirt. By the way, if you go to yummytummybbq.com, the Midmo code has been reinstated. They were doing a Cyber Monday deal where they were giving 20% off. But even if you missed that one, you can still get 10% off using the Midmo code on your order. And if you go on that website, he's got some slick hats. The shirts are fantastic,
right,
as we've been telling you. And, you know, all the sauces that he's got on there. And I keep checking back just
to see if something's new.
Wanting for updates on the Reaper.
Well, that's me, too. I'm waiting on that. I did have a conversation with Josh last week after the show because he was listening to us and he heard Sarah, you know, talking and stuff. And he said, we're doing a great job for him up here. You know, but it's easy to promote something when you really believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when that Reaper comes in, I'm like you. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I feel like a man on death row. I'm just waiting for the Reaper.
Yeah, it's like the last meal's coming in.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be a lot of continuous good meals with that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I would love to try that on just some wings.
Yes.
I feel like that would go really well with, you know, if you shredded some chicken, did some nachos, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Pulled pork nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little, because I put sauce on my pulled pork nachos. That would just put that right over the top,
sure.
I did a thing during the week, and it's nothing fancy, but I did some shake and bake chicken. And about three-quarters of the way through, I'm thinking, you know, this stuff is boring as can be, shake and bake. It's got a few seasonings. So I brushed Yummy Tummy on half the chicken, the Inferno that I have. And on the other half, I just brushed a regular Yummy Tummy for my wife. I'm going to tell you what, best stuff I ever ate. It just set it over, had a little bit of a smoky flavor with the seasoning and stuff. It was delicious. So,
yeah, my dad, he did some chicken. He got some fresh chicken breasts, and he said he smoked them on cherry wood for about an hour. But before that, he let him sit in, I think, some Italian dressing in a bag for about 24 hours, smoked them for an hour, and then got them up to 225. And he said they're just the best chicken
he's
had.
I mean, the great part about smoking is you can take dry white meat, and it'll stay juicy if you get the temperature right and you got the right seasonings, and then you put the right sauce on afterwards. It's just, it's great. So,
yeah, so obviously the smoking season is sort of winding down because when I first got the smoker back in, I want to say it was maybe October, maybe late September, but the weather was still to where I could just sit out on the porch, and what I'd love to do is either the Saturday once I got done with the smoke show or just spend all Sunday just sitting out on that porch drinking a few beers. And I started out with ribs.
Right.
Pretty good starter in that. And it's just great. You just sit there and you watch the smoke billow up and you smell it, and it's just fantastic. But obviously nowadays, you either got to bundle up or you're just sitting out there. And I think the wind, is the biggest killer, not only for sitting out there, but it's also going to make your temperature very hard to maintain and pretty inconsistent.
Yes.
Because air movement will create convection, which is one of the bigger sources of heat loss. And that is just going to sap the heat away. But when the air is this cold, it's even worse.
Yes, and it's heavy, which makes it even harder on your fire and everything mm-hmm. else. You know, there's all the little secrets. Maybe we can, towards the end, you know, we'll have that when we have our toddy or whatever that is, recipe of the week.
Yeah.
We can talk a little bit about how to keep the temperature right, what to do in the cold weather smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's about time we take a quick commercial break here. And coming up in segment two is our interview at the Royal. And so make sure you stay tuned because this guy is an awesome guy. He's a great cook, too. And stay tuned to ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Kwas. We'll be right back.
Now, the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by the Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. So go ahead and hurry up and huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, anytime. Man, it's just like I just washed my tongue and I can't do a thing with it.
Yeah, you got to hurry, you got to huddle, you got to hustle.
Yeah, there's a whole lot there going on and I'm not used to doing.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister of a sponsor.
So this segment here, we're going to be, you know, shooting back to the Royal. And it was Mike Winters, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mike Winters from Red Oaks Barbecue. And he really helped us out. He was so gracious as to lend us one of his tables that he wasn't using. And, you know, we got there a little bit later of a start to the day than we would have liked. And we're just scrambling trying to find a table.
Right.
And the people that were working there, the people at the Kansas Speedway, the KCBS organizers, were very accommodating, very just such gracious hosts.
Oh,
and
yes.
And they just running around trying so hard to help us out, and they had no reason to. We just kind of showed up, given we had media passes, and that probably went a ways, but they just were helping us out. We weren't
nobody special.
We weren't really worth their time, frankly, because we weren't making them any money. I suppose we're giving them a bit of exposure, which is good, but
yeah, but there's a barbecue family coming into it again.
Oh, yeah. It just,
you know,
everybody taking care of us with Gatorades, water bottles, sandwiches, just making sure we were all taken care of. And this guy, Mike Winters, he hooked us up with some wings.
Right.
Oh,
and they were good. And, you know, here we are, the first day of December, and everybody's going, why do they keep talking about how, you know, Gatorade and ice water and all this? Well, back when we recorded this, it was like 90-some degrees. We're in the middle of the Kansas City Speedway, asphalt everywhere, about 500 cookers going. And I don't think Death Valley could have been any rougher.
Yeah, it was a bit warm, you know, just all that heat going up into the atmosphere, it was being reflected. So the weather said it was about 90 degrees, which I believe that was probably the air temp anywhere but there. But it was easily over 100.
Oh, yeah. Heat index was unreal.
Yeah.
But then that's when you said the Kansas City Barbecue Society stepped up, helped us where they could.
Oh, yeah.
Let us get in and cool off in their big building where the judges were.
Yeah.
Along comes Mike Winters, and he's got food because he knew we hadn't eaten all day.
Yeah.
And brought us water, towels. Another team was bringing us iced tea and towels. We made it.
Yeah.
I know I rendered down a few pounds, and so.
Yeah, not to mention when I went back to give him his table back, he was like, oh, you want a beer? I was like, yeah, I do. It had been going on like 8 hours sitting in the sun. It still was pretty warm, even though the sun was going down, and I was like, there's nothing I want more than a beer right now.
Well, and, you know, I mean, and you were talking to Mike. I was over talking to David Bosca.
Yeah.
And David, you know, he said, get in the trailer, get some water, cool off and stuff. You know, they're just fantastic people all the way around.
I suppose my only complaint about the the event was there just wasn't enough time.
That's it.
Because you wanted to go and spend a couple hours or the whole day. You know, we sat and talked to Oklahoma Joe's for a while.
Yeah.
We talked to David Bosco. We talked to everybody. They're just a bunch of fun people to hang out with.
It is. And like you said, and while you're talking to them, you're getting to know them better. They're getting to know you better. Makes a better relationship. Everything mm-hmm. goes good. Then next time they see us, they'll be ready to come and talk with us again.
Yeah, like we mentioned David Bosca. He was on the show a second time because he won the Jack
right.
Daniels World Championship. We kind of had him out of order.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, we called him, and he was busy that day. He had stuff going on, but he still made time for us because and it's not like we're out here doing something real important, but it is something that these guys get behind and they support, and it's just this common goal of
exactly
making barbecue accessible and fun for everyone.
And they prove it, and like I said, it's all, these guys are all a class act, so we'll just let you go ahead and listen to the interview, and we'll be back and talk a little bit more about it.
All right.
That close enough?
That is perfect. We are sitting here at... And we are being joined by Mike Winter from Red Elk Barbecue, and he is known as the No Serious Q, opposed to the other teams that are serious. Mike, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So you got your competition part over, and now you're getting to kick back and relax for the rest of the day till this evening, right?
Yeah.
And so I got a question. I want to know what got you into barbecue. Not so much competition, but just brought you to barbecue.
Oh, I think when I was young, I was helping my dad out to cooking at home. As I grew up, he'd let me take on a little more responsibility all the time. You know, maybe got to where I could, he'd trust me to start the fire without putting too much lighter fluid on it. And kind of grew into it from there. And then he got me to cooking steaks and taking care of stuff on the grill pretty much on my own. So my dad's really responsible for that.
Well, then bless his heart.
Yes, sir.
And so then you know, I guess you went through high school cooking and everything. And then how long have you been competition cooking?
Off and on, about 15 years.
Oh, wow. So you're one of the old pros then.
No, I wouldn't say that because I don't do 40 contests a year. I might do 4 contests a year.
Oh, okay. Why are you got a? Have you got a restaurant or?
No. I just have a full time job, and I also love the judging process. I've been a master judge for about 15 years as well, and I'm a contest official with the Kansas City Barbecue Society.
Well, could you explain what a master judge is?
Well, it's a judge who has judged at least 30 contests, and then you have to have either cooked with the team or cooked on your own.
Okay.
And then you have a little test at the end and to see how much you know about it, and there comes Tuffy Stone, and he's getting in line there, isn't he?
Yes,
oh,
he is.
Don't sit in that chair, Tuffy.
But, so, Master Judge is like, in the judging circuit, as Pit Master is in the cook circuit, right? They're the ones that are in charge, basically.
What was that again? I didn't catch it.
Okay. We got your CBJs, and then you got your master judges. They kind of take preference over the CBJs, don't they?
In what way? I don't know where you're
being contacted to do judging. Are you more in demand than just a regular CBA, or is it just a title?
Well, I don't want to belittle it and just say it's a title because people put a lot of time and money and travel in into becoming a master judge, but I think any judge that takes it very seriously or really sets down to give the entries proper attention
right.
is a good judge.
Right.
You know, whether they're a master judge or a brand new CBJ. You know, we like judges that are there to give the teams a fair and impartial judging
there
of
you
their,
go.
Their
That's
product.
It. Yeah. Okay, now, since we got you and you're a master judge, we are trying to promote a lot of young people and first-timers to get into the competition. Can you give us a little rundown on what you, as a judge, when you get meat set in front of you, what are you looking for?
Well, the KCBS puts on a CBJ class.
Right.
And they have certain criteria by which they expect the judges to follow in the judging process. So after having gone through the class, we judge for appearance, and then taste, and then tenderness, texture. And we give each entry 3 scores. And I think probably the toughest part about being a judge is to not compare the entries in the case of this. We're not a comparative judging
right.
organization. So, you know, when you judge that first entry, and once the scores are down, you just have to put that out of your mind and then move on to the second one like the first one never existed. It's very hard to do. Subconsciously,
yes.
You want to think about it, but you have to block that out as much as possible.
Well, when you open a box, and I've heard this from the judges on, you know, the Pitmaster Show and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be barbecue that you cannot wait to bite
absolutely, into. Absolutely.
And that's where the appearance comes in, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, sir. And there's kind of a misnomer. See, the teams will put garnish in the box, mainly to keep things from sliding around, in my opinion. But the judges are taught not to look at the garnish, to look at and focus on the meat. And I know that's hard to do
it
as
is.
Well.
Because you eat with
try,
your eyes first.
Yeah, we try not to take the garnish. We strive to block that out. And I think most of the judges do a pretty good job of that.
Well, see, when I was competing, my daughter competed with me. And she was in charge of getting our boxes ready. And I'm going to tell you what, Mike, that girl, when she put that parsley in there, it looked like a putting green. And when
yes,
you could
sir.
Set your meat in there, it like, I mean, I was just the proudest guy in the world
uh-huh.
because she designed the boxes. And we've had a few mistakes, you know, along the way. And we dropped a few by accident,
yeah. oh.
which everybody does. But I'm really, really proud of the way she is stepping up in her barbecue world.
That's good.
And I noticed that, you know, here at the Royal, they got a kid Q contest
uh-huh.
in. Now, do you get into judging that, too?
I have judged it before. I'm not going to judge the kids' queue this weekend. Is your daughter going to compete
no,
in
no,
that?
No, no, no.
How old is
she's
she?
She's 21.
Okay. I have a nephew that's over with us this weekend. He's a freshman in college, and he's been helping us for about 10 years. And he's our parsley guy. He's just meticulous, and he's artistic. And you spoke about the putting green effect.
Yeah.
And the kid's going to hunker himself down over here in the trailer. and he'll go at it. And 2.5 hours, he's going to have half a dozen boxes that are better than any of the boxes I could make by
See,
far.
See, this is what we're wanting our listeners to hear. We're wanting to hear that it doesn't matter how old you are.
No,
don't be
not.
Scared. Just get in there and try.
Yes.
And, you know, you're going to make some mistakes. We all did.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I had some mentors that helped me along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not ready yet for competing at the Royal, but I sure have had a great time being here.
Good. Is this the first time you have been at the Royal?
Yes. Okay. Mine and Colin's first time.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, last night we were overwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
When we come up here and the caliber of the cooks that are here and the people that we got to talk to, it just like, I mean, I felt like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're having a good time.
And we really are. And Mike, I want to thank you so much for coming by.
Okay.
Helping our listeners know about what the judges, you know, don't be scared of the judges. They're just eating food. They don't know whose it is.
That's right.
And so good luck in the rest of the competition. And
all right.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All righty.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is on ESPN 107.3.
And welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast, along with my co-host, Colin Fisher. And today, it's What's New in Barbecue, sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And
so to any of our listeners that might be in the North Carolina area, a renowned pitmaster, Sam Jones, is opening a barbecue restaurant in Raleigh.
That's what, Skylight?
So it's a they started with the Skylight Inn. That's what he's fairly well known for from his family. But this will be a it's going to be his second Sam Jones Barbecue restaurant.
Okay.
And he's a James Beard semifinalist, fourth generation pitmaster, and he's a whole hog smoker. He says there's no way to recreate whole hog barbecue. The fat rendering dripping down over hot coals, sizzling, the plume of smoke rising. There's nothing else you can do to get it like that.
And well, he's technically right, yeah.
Right. It's just, it's one of those processes that is...
There's an art to it.
Right. There's an art and a little bit of a science to it. And, you know, it just... I got a lot of respect for the sorts of people that can do that kind of thing, because I certainly can't.
Right. Well, I mean, I've cooked a couple of whole hogs, and there is an art to it. I am by no means what you would call a whole hog cooker.
Sure.
Mine shreds before it comes off the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen Sam Jones. I've actually been to his restaurant, and it is really a different take on your pork. Because every bit of pork is put together, the dark meat and the white meat, and chopped up.
Okay.
So there's none of this just you got your loin or whatever. It's all together. And then when you get that crispy skin, oh, man, it's like a pork potato chip.
Yeah.
So say congratulations to Sam, and
if you're heading to the Raleigh area, you know where you can stop by for a meal.
Oh, absolutely. And down in that area, you're not going to have a hard time.
Because
there's Clyde Cooper's. There's, like I said, Skylight. There's a whole bunch of them whole hog cookers down there. The sauce is a little different. It's more of a vinegar sauce. So.
Sure, in that region.
But that's okay. So what else is going on today?
Well, I figure since the weather's starting to change, we've got from smokedbarbecuesource.com, here's an article on 7 practical cold weather smoking tips.
All right.
Because, you know, we talked about this a little bit when the temperature started to drop, and then it kind of switched on us a bit, and
right.
It's been real inconsistent. But I think it's starting to get into the more winter weather. And so one of the biggest things is different types of smokers perform differently in your extreme conditions. And obviously, we've had quite a few proponents of the ugly drum smoker on
right.
here. You are a diehard stick burner.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, you never know. One of these days, you guys might get me to switch.
Yeah, well, you know what? Whenever I started this, I wasn't a smoker at all.
There you go. So, see?
And obviously, as a bit more of a beginner, and I don't exactly have the means to accommodate much of a smoker, so just a good pellet smoker was a great start for me. It was also a great start for my dad. And to anybody that is listening to this, thinking about getting into smoking, and because the more you listen to this, there's only so long you can sit and hear
exactly.
about it before you get the itch and you have got to try it. And I did it for over a year before I finally just caved in.
Right. But I'll tell you what, too, Colin, you're being a pellet smoker.
Mm-hmm.
You have more of an advantage over me in the cold weather.
Oh, certainly.
Because you're going to automatically put the wood to it to
right.
keep it. I have to watch it.
Yeah, the only thing I've got to worry about is making sure my hopper doesn't run out.
Right. So, you know, that there isn't an advantage to everything.
Certainly. So, but the idea is that, you know, when you're listening to me, any experience, what limited experience that I do have, is going to be on a pellet smoker. The couple of ribs and the chicken that I've made have been on the pellet smoker, whereas Lyle's going to be talking from his experience on a stick burner. And
right.
There are a lot of people who are getting behind the ugly drum movement, but I think it's important to think about and identify how your smoker behaves and keep that in mind as you're planning.
Right, and that's exactly it. You know, like I said, with you, you're going to have that constant feed of pellets in there.
Right.
Keep the hopper full.
Yeah, so anyone who is on a pellet smoker, I'm sure you're aware of the P setting, which just kind of affects the rate at which it feeds the fuel. And so the lower it is, the more frequently it will feed fuel, and that will give you a bit of a higher temperature, which is especially good in these colder weathers because you can use that to sort of compensate for that extra heat loss that you're
right.
getting. But in a more mild and especially less windy climate, you can have that a bit higher because it doesn't feed them as much, but that means you get a lot more smoke to it, which I love.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's like, you know, with mine, being a stick burner, I got to sometimes put a little extra wood in there and stuff, open the air up a little more, get more.
Yeah.
And something I went and did, and it does look ridiculous. I went and bought me a super thick sleeping bag.
Yeah.
It's rated for like 20 below.
Ooh.
I can just lay that over the top of my smoker. It's not going to burn because the temperature's not hot enough.
Right.
There's no direct fire, but it sure does keep the heat in.
Yeah, and that brings us right on to tip number two, which was create your own smoker insulation. And some of the options to consider, according to this article, are welding blankets or furnace insulation.
Right.
So I think anybody who's creative, and we've seen a lot of people, you know, especially over at smokerbuilder.com, there's a lot of people in the manufacturing trade that are also in the smoking tradition.
Right.
And people get really creative, and some of it is some redneck engineering, you know, the types of people that figure out how to get a beer cooler to float down the river alongside them. And you know, it might look a little silly, but the functionality works.
Well, you know, my daughter told me, she goes, Dad, why don't you get one custom made so when you put it on there, it looks like, you know, in the wintertime, like a reindeer or something.
That'd be pretty slick.
I said, I'm thinking that would kind of take away that people might think I'm cooking reindeer, you know. But I could see, you know, make a big old hog blanket out of it.
All right, I got an idea for you.
Okay.
So get yourself some deer.
Uh-huh.
Make up some venison, and then get some of that, you know, gold flaking, the edible kind,
yeah,
and just sprinkle that in there and tell them it's reindeer.
Yeah. Well, I've been looking into making one, you know, that makes it look like a pig.
Okay, yeah.
Or a chicken or something, you know.
Yeah.
It fits right in with the stuff that I do, so.
Yeah, there might be a market for this.
There could be. There may already have something out there like
I'm
that.
Sure somebody's got something, but if you can't necessarily insulate the smoker, I think one of the more obvious tips on here is keep the lid shut.
Yes.
Because whenever you're smoking, opening up the lid, you're getting a lot of the air is moving in and out, and that's the energy behind that mass is giving you a lot of heat transfer.
Well, you know, we got a saying in barbecue, if you're looking, you ain't cooking.
Yeah. And so especially when it gets down this cold and if there's any sort of wind, you know, I try to do it as quickly as I can. I throw open the lid, I handle whatever I got to, and then I put it down and I've still lost like 50 degrees.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take long. Not at all. And like you said, in the cold, in the snow, I mean, I've dug out snow from behind my fire pit so I can get to the door and start my fire.
Yeah.
That don't bother me. But
yeah,
keeping the actual pit itself warm, that's essential.
Right. Well, and especially for the people starting out, when I was doing my first round of ribs, I kept wanting to open it up, check it, like, all right, does that look right? Is that
right.
What it wanted to? And it takes a bit of mental discipline to just sit there and trust the recipe and trust that meat is going to cook well. So the next tip is stock up on fuel. It's a fairly obvious one. Worst thing you want to do is run out of pellets or wood while you're smoking, and you're especially if that means you got to take it off early and it's not up to temp, finish it off in the oven, which, you know, get it done
right,
best case scenario, but yeah, you really want to be able to get it all the way through, especially if you're spending 6 hours on something.
If you run out of fuel, that means your temperature is going to drop, then you got to get it back up. Up and down, lowering and raising a temperature makes meat real tough.
Right.
And less flavorful.
Yeah. So another one is position your smoker in a sheltered spot. And this is a real important one because if you can shelter it from that wind just a bit, even if the wind's not that cold, that moving air is going to give you so much convection and that will generate a lot of heat transfer. And actually, back to our insulation topic, don't try to just make it as thick as possible and just layer on as much as you want, because there's sort of an inverse relationship with the thicker you get it, the more you're expanding that surface area at an exponential rate. And that surface area is a direct factor in convection. So you're going to get more convection. So there is a fine line between you're lowering the amount of conduction by adding that insulation, but at a certain point, you're going to end up generating more heat transfer because of how much more surface area you add to it.
Well, plus, with this time of the year, we get a lot more wind. So with me being a stick burner, if I don't just adjust that airflow right and try to block some of the wind, it creates way too much heat.
Right, yeah. You can get a lot more combustion because the fire doesn't care what temperature the oxygen it is.
That's
as long as it's oxygen.
That's right.
And the other thing is, make sure you've got good ventilation, because it's real tempting to take this into your garage, but make that you get, if you're going to have it in there, have it real close to the door and make sure that the smoke has a way to get out.
Exactly.
Because that'll build up real quick and it's hard to get out.
And you know, I mean, I don't mind the smell of smoke, but, you know, it does, it happens, and there's a good chance you could start your house on fire, too.
Yeah. You know, it's a great smell, but it's not all you want to be breathing.
Well, it's kind of like when you fry a turkey, you know, you don't never take it inside your house and just dump the turkey in the pot.
Sure.
And let the grease go everywhere and catch on fire.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to take another break, but make sure you don't go anywhere, because Colin's got a neat little recipe for when you're outside cooking on these cold days. So you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I am Lyle Quast, and we will be right back.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I am your host, Lyle Quast, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply in Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools, and, of course, the yummy tummy barbecue sauce. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And it's time for our rest for the week, and this is brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years and available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And like I said, when we left, Colin has a perfect recipe for when you're sitting out there trying to get that smoker going in the cold and everything. So,
yeah, so what we've got is smoked chili hot chocolate. And this comes off of TraegerGrills.com. And it takes about 10 minutes to prep, 35 minutes for cooking. This one's rated as a 3 out of 5 difficulty, so be aware it might be a little involved. And they recommend maple for the hardwood. So your
different.
Yeah, so your ingredients are going to be 2/3 cups of cold heavy cream, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of Dutch processed cocoa powder, 1/8 teaspoon of salt, 4 cups of milk, 1 3/4 cups bittersweet chocolate finely chopped, 1/8 tablespoon of ground smoked cayenne, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of smoked paprika, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla. So right off the bat, you're getting some good smoked flavors with that cayenne.
Oh, absolutely.
And paprika.
And the sugar to cream ratio is pretty high,
right,
too.
And so with a little bit of in that cayenne, so that heat and that sweet trading off with one another, you get that the smokiness.
Cause
That savory, the smoke, because like I said, my girlfriend and I, the second thing I made after the ribs, we decided, all right, let's try baking a set of cookies. And it absorbs a little bit of that smoke and right into the chocolate. And I tell you what, chocolate goes real well with smoke, and it goes real well with a bit of spice. So this, I think, I'm definitely going to have to try this one out. So
there you go.
When you're ready to smoke, start up the grill and... This is instructions on how to start up a Traeger, but you're going to set the temperature to 300 degrees Fahrenheit and preheat it with the lid closed for 10 to 15 minutes. And I think that's also a very important, like we were talking about last segment, to maintaining your temperature with these cold, this cold weather.
Uh-huh.
If you can preheat it, at least on the pellet cookers, once you get that all those elements, the air and the metals up to that temperature, it's going to be a lot easier to maintain there because it's going to be fluctuating as much, and you're not going to get that heat gradient, and you want it all to be pretty even and cooking the same so that you don't get any, you know, warm spots. So you're going to cook the cinnamon and the paprika on a pan in the Traeger for 5 minutes set at the smoke setting. In a medium saucepan, scald the milk, cream, and sugar. After a few minutes, whisk in the cocoa, salt, and then, once it's hot, stir in the bittersweet chocolate, the smoked spices, and the vanilla. Whisk until combined and serve with cream or marshmallow. And that's it. So all you got to know is how to scald and whisk.
Well, and then, you know, when you get done, you can make the adult version, too, of that.
Yeah, I think you throw in a little bit of Bailey's.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. And, a little Bailey's, maybe some rum chata, something like that.
And then, you know, while you're out there smoking, you know, just kick back, enjoy, knowing that both areas are getting kept nice and warm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's...
So, and, you know, I was talking to Sarah this week, and she came up with a new recipe with the yummy tummy. She made Sloppy Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she made it from scratch with the onions, the garlic, the peppers, and all this, and the hamburger. And then when it come to the adding your what you call ketchup, she didn't want that much ketchup in there.
Sure.
So it called for 2 cups of ketchup. So she took 1 cup of ketchup out and put 1 cup of Yummy Tummy in there.
Yeah, see, I think that was real smart because Yummy Tummy is delicious, but it's also very it's a pretty bold flavor.
Yes.
You can, and I've always, whenever I do ribs or something like that, I try to do pretty light because you don't want to overpower it. Like we always say, you don't want to go too much on sauce. You want to let the food bring the flavor and express
exactly.
That flavor. You want it to be more of a compliment than a supplement.
Well, and what she said was, with the smoky flavor off the Yummy Tummy, mm-hmm. it added that to the... to the Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that they were pretty good because she cooked up over 2 pounds of hamburger and made Sloppy Joe's, and two of them ate it.
Man, that's impressive.
Yes.
Like, my roommate's, you know, 6'1", 200 pounds or so, and he and I can put away 2 pounds of hamburger meat. But,
well, these were two small girls.
Yeah.
And you know, there's another... use of Yummy Tummy, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I know Sarah was saying that she's not much into the heat and whatnot, but I bet if you did that with Inferno, and maybe a little less Inferno, or you could go half and half with some original and some Inferno, half a cup of each. And I think just that back note of the heat there would just
she's all right that way. She just doesn't like the direct heat, you know.
Sure. Well, and that's, I think, another good thing about Yummy Tummy, and it's fairly warm, so if you really don't like heat, I wouldn't recommend you go and try this, because my dad and I, we like heat a bit more than everyone else. We're the Bloody Mary drinkers. And
well, that's why I can't wait for the Reaper to come out, because,
oh man,
you know, I got visions. Most people, you know, at Christmas time had visions of sugar plums and all that. I'm thinking of the Reaper coming out and just how good that's going
to
be.
I'm just seeing that little pig. If you haven't been to the website, go there at least just to see these characters.
Yes.
Josh has some of the best graphics you'll ever see.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, you can just see that pig with smoke pouring out of its ears from the Reaper, you know, or the chicken's feathers catching on fire. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. And you know what? You can go to his website and order any of this sauce.
Yeah, and if you use the code MIDMO, you'll get 10% off of your order. That's yummytummybbq.com.
And if you haven't got time to wait for the order to come in, go to Wind Supply.
Yeah, you got Wind Supply, you've got Cooking from Scratch.
And
hopefully we've got a couple of more.
Colton Steakhouse, I think, is selling it too.
All right.
So, you know what? The only way you guys can actually try what we're talking about, we can talk here till our head falls off, and it ain't going to make a difference.
Yep.
Until people actually try it and see. How's a diehard barbecue sauce? I mean, I had one sauce I was never going to change, mm-hmm. and along come Yummy Tummy, and I've changed.
Oh, yeah. And it just goes great on everything.
Sure it does. Even eggs.
Sure.
And I made that turkey soup the other day, and I got thinking, you know what? Wonder what it would taste like. Dropped a little Inferno in my turkey soup when it was hot. I liked it. It was nice. Good. Had some cranberries in there. So,
yeah.
It's just experiment, folks. That's what barbecue is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to hear about you, you know, you got yours now. And you brought some ribs in, which were really good.
Yeah, those turned out pretty well.
They're very good.
That's another benefit to the pellet smoker is We do the shows at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, so Friday night about 1, I threw those ribs on. And, you know, I'm a college student. I'm no stranger to all-nighters, but I'm not exactly fond of them anymore.
Right.
I've gotten over it. And so I was laying there on the couch, which meant I could get up every hour, hour and a half or so. And I went out there, and the temp was right where I left it.
Sure.
And it's great. And you got to kind of compensate for the temperature and those sorts of things. But I think the pellet smokers actually do a decent job of that on their own, because there was one day that I was thinking, all right, so I set it to the temperature, and I guess because it was cold or whatever and it was doing more work to heat it up, it was actually running hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the bizarrest thing.
Well, you know, that's what makes this type of cooking so great.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm an engineering student, so my experience has been in labs where you do this, you follow the steps, and you get X result, and you can calculate your percent error and your variance and those sorts of things. And I had always looked at cooking as the same way. I was like, well, you put this concentration of that and those sorts of things. But there are just so many factors, and especially once you start adding smoke, because just the different type of wood that you use, the sauce that you use, the rub that you use, the time, the method, all those sorts of things. So there are so many elements.
There is.
That even if they're like discrete elements, and most of them aren't, you know, your temperature and all those sorts of things are going to be continuous, the number of different combinations, it'll take you years to cook ribs. If you ever could, it'd take a lifetime to cook ribs every way possible.
Sure.
And I think the awesome thing is every time I cook something, you know, I cook those ribs, I thought, all right, so maybe I'll try some of this next time. I'll try maybe different proportions of something or putting it on at a different time. Because I use a very easy recipe. Once again, we use TraegerGrills.com a lot here on the Smoke Show. And if you go there, they've got a lot of good recipes. They do. You can sort them by difficulty, so you can find ones that are more your speed. Or if you want, they've got a few level 5 ones that they look like French cuisine or something. It's just all these advanced techniques that I'm not even going to try to comprehend. But so the 3-2-1 method is very simple. You just smoke them for 3 hours, and then you wrap them, put them on at 225, and you add in some brown sugar, some honey, a little bit of apple juice. And that, the more apple juice you add, it'll get it nice and tender. And then you take it off. And by then, after that 2 hours, when I made that last round, they were already up to temp. So instead of putting them back on at 225, which would have cooked them more, and if you do that, you can get them up over 190, 200, and that'll start to break down the fibers and get it a little more fall off the bone, if that's what you like.
Right.
So you can overdo them a bit. But what I did was I just threw them back on at smoke, wanted to sort of maintain the temperature, and didn't want it going any higher. And so it absorbed a little bit more of that smoke flavor, but stayed down there where they were cooked enough, but it still had the bite to it.
Right.
The good texture.
And, you know, and that's like the thing, too, is we've talked and everything. I had a friend of mine come up the other day. He was mad. He said he's going to quit smoking because he did a brisket and it didn't taste like mine. I said, that's good. That means it's your personality in there.
Yeah.
Because if we all tasted like every one person's, you don't need any other smoke show.
Right. That's the thing. You know, my dad and I, we love to do brats. And if you do apple or cherry wood for brats, and if you soak them in kind of a darker lager, like an Amberbach or something like that.
Right.
Oh, they're good.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's the way it should be.
Right. But, you know, I do it. And at Walmart in town, if you're in the Rolla area, and I assume that there are other locations, but Walmart carries Pit Boss brand rubs and pellets. So I use some of those. They've got a fruit blend that is apple, cherry, and maple. So I use those on my brats, and they taste different from my dad's, but they're still good in their own way.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, you make everything unique. You make it where it's going to go good, so.
Yeah, and I think now, if you are a competition cooker or you do want to get into competition cookers, remember what David Bosco was saying on his interview was, go out and do a full cook and write down everything that you need.
Exactly.
Figure out what you need, work out a game plan, and then adjust from there. I think now, you know, this is the off season. We're ESPN, we do sports radio and those sorts of things. what do athletes do in the off season? They're training so that their on season is the best that it can be. You can't wait until the competition season starts to start prepping for your competitions.
Now's a good time. Get your friends out there, feed them, and everything else. You know,
figure out your style.
That's it. All right. Well, it's time to wrap this up. And the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. The show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and it is engineered by Colin Fisher. Don't forget, you can always listen to a podcast of this show. Just go to our website at ESPN1073.com. Click programming and the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.